Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. A moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. Yes, I am your host. I am motivational speaker and author and just encourager, Nicole Cleveland. And we come to you every Thursday to bring you victorious testimonies of faith from people just like yourself, people that have gone through, they've come out, but they're reaching back to let you know that you're not by yourself. We don't want anyone suffering by themselves. We don't want anyone suffering in secret nor in silence like we once were. When we go through, it feels like we're the only ones that go through. We feel like we're the only ones that have gone through the dilemma or the only ones that have cried that tear or don't want to get out of bed or contemplated suicide. We feel like we're by ourselves, but you are not by yourselves. So if you are that individual right now that you're in a tough spot right now, you're in a valley situation right now, we want to encourage you and let you know to hang on in there, my sister, my brother. Trouble don't last always. There is going to be light at the end of that tunnel. And you know what? You don't even have to wait until the end of the tunnel. You can turn that light switch on at any part of that tunnel. You can turn that light switch on right now because there is light and there is hope for you. So I just love what I do, and I'm doing what I love. I call myself the connector because I connect people with stories of faith, those ones that need to hear it. So to God be the glory for great things that he has done, he's doing, and I'm so excited for the things that he's about to do because I'm not looking at the situation. I'm not looking at what I see with my natural eyes. I'm looking at what he has promised me. So I'm set on the promise, and I encourage you to be set on the promise as well. Well, listen, if you have a victorious testimony, I want to hear from you too. I want to interview you. I want you to be on the show, jump on the show, and share what God has done for you because we know that we're not supposed to hold on to the testimony. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So tell your testimony. That individual needs to hear from you. Go to breatheagainmagazine.org, breatheagainmagazine.org, and you can click that share your story, fill out that submission form, and somebody will be in touch with you to schedule your show. You can also follow us on our social media outlets at Breathe Again for Twitter and Breathe Again Mag on Facebook, and you can find us on Pinterest and Google Plus as well. But we're out there encouraging, motivating, and inspiring as well. So look, we have a dynamic show in store for you today. Dynamic. I'll tell you, my guest today is a living, walking, breathing miracle. I've had a chance to chat with her on numerous occasions, and her light is shining so bright, and she is just on the mountaintop ready to yell that God did it for me and he can do it for you too. So I'm going to bring her on the line. Her name is Lynette Are Good, and she is the author of Determined to Live, How I Endured 48 Surgeries Due to Gastric Bypass. Phenomenal story. She lost hundreds of pounds. She is still here, but she was eating through, I believe, a feeding tube for years. She did not pick up a spoon and put it in her mouth for years. Can you imagine that? You know, we complain about certain crazy things, but think about that thing. If you could not pick up a spoon or a fork and put it in your mouth and you had to be fed through a feeding tube each and every day, how would you feel about that? So I'm going to bring her on the line in a few minutes, and I'm excited because, you know, she's got a word on the inside of her as well, that because she knows that it was nobody but God that did it for her. So we're going to go into our prayer right quick, and then when we come back, we'll bring Lynette on the line. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I believe Blog Talk is having some difficulties, but I believe it's coming on now.
The song is
Father,
on.
You hear our hearts this morning? We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say, forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good, I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. Let our love be carved out, Father God, on the pavements of our neighborhoods. Let our love be carved out for you, Father. Oh, Jesus, for the lonely. Lord, for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I absolutely love that prayer, and if you're wondering who that prayer is, it is Darlene Check of Hillsong and Israel and New Breed. But when I first listened to that, I was like, oh my goodness, I have to play that for my show because it just resonates with who I am and what the mission of me is, really. I don't want it to look good. I want it to be good. I want to do the work and put in the work, and I want to make a difference in what I do. And I truly believe I've been called to do what I'm doing right now, and that is making a difference each and every day. So I hope you were blessed by that prayer, but we're going to bring our guests on the line right now. Hey, Lynette, are you there?
I am, Nicole.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on today.
You're so welcome.
Well, look, Lynette, let's just jump right into the show. Why don't you tell the listeners, I gave you a brief overview of who you are. You're an author, you're a mother, you are a wife, you went through the gastric bypass surgery, you had 48 surgeries after that. But tell the audience who Lynette is from Lynette's perspective.
Well, from my perspective is that, number one, I'm a child of God. Number two, I just let him use me whatever way he wants to use me. I'm a vessel. But I'm married just about 25 years. We have one daughter, and she's getting ready to go to law school in August of next year. I am not only an author, I'm a motivational speaker. I am the founder of a CEO and a CEO of a company called Dion Intervention Incorporated. Those acronyms stand for drugs, education, obesity, and nutrition, ages 10 to 22. So all of those acronyms, Nicole, birthed out of me during this surgery. They all came because each one of those acronyms is a piece of me that came out of having the gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. So that's dear to me. Dion is very, very dear to me. Everything I do is dear to me. So all I can say, I am so thankful, number one, to be alive. I am so grateful and so excited to be alive. This was my fifth Christmas of being home with my family without being in the hospital. So I was like, to glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, well, let's back up a little bit. So you talked a little bit about this being your fifth Christmas being home with your family, which is such a blessing, because statistics and doctors and experts, they said you shouldn't be here. You actually should be dead in their eyesight. Talk a little bit about your childhood growing up. You said for the majority of your life you were obese. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I grew up in a little rural town called Ivor, Virginia, which is on 460, if you want to take the scenic route to Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. It's about 400 people, and my father was a farmer. My mom was a stay-home mom until she had to get out and go to work also for us to have. Mm-hmm. So we knew nothing else but to put a plate in front of us, mm-hmm. and you don't throw anything away. You're just going to eat everything on that plate. Not only that, everything was fried. Everything on a pig we ate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So all of that stemmed. Back then, it wasn't called obesity back then. Back mm-hmm. then, it was called you're either chubby or you're fat. That's the word they used, fat and chubby back in the day.
It's interesting, if I could interject a little bit, Lynette, it's interesting that you say that because we would get in trouble, I guess, if we did not eat everything that was on that plate, and we couldn't mm-hmm. move from the table unless we ate everything on that plate. And, you know, mm-hmm. I can remember when my babies were smaller and they were thin. They were at their right size. I was feeding them, but those of old days, you know, those mothers and things of that nature, my mother and things of that nature, and my mother-in-law would say, you need to feed that, fatten that baby up, fatten that baby up. They need to eat. You must not be feeding that baby. But you hear that a lot. And so I was just reminded of that when you said that. So you said, you know, that's all you knew was to eat because you ate what was in front of you. So the majority of your life, you were obese. What was your highest weight, Lynette?
My highest weight before the gastric bypass, it was close to 400 pounds.
Wow, okay.
I was 289 pounds when I got married in 1989. I was 289 pounds. So it kept spiraling out of control. I would lose the weight, keep it off for a little while, and then I was like, I ate this piece of pie and I didn't gain a bit of weight, so let me get another piece of pie. So mm-hmm. what happened is, and people don't know this, what happens is the body began to say, oh, it's getting it back again, and before you realize it, you have gained the weight that you have lost. Mm-hmm. And you have gained more weight on top of that.
Right.
That's what the body does. The body does that.
Yeah. So, Lynette, what was your turning point? What was your low place? Why did you have the gastric bypass surgery? Did the doctors tell you, look, if you don't lose the weight, you're going to die?
That's the only choice that I had, Nicole. If I did not lose the weight, they could not guarantee me how long I would live. And I was 31 then.
Wow, at 31.
At 31. And I sat in his office and cried and cried and cried because I had already had 6 or 7 major surgeries before then. I'm like, I can't make that decision, Dr. Jamie, today because I got to, number one, I got to talk to God. Number two, I got to talk to my husband and my parents
mm-hmm.
about this drastic change that I may be going through.
Mm-hmm. And so in your book, Determined to Live, you say that the standard losing weight processes or techniques or procedures did not work for you. So gastric bypass was really your only choice. Is that correct?
Exactly, Nicole. You are exactly right. That was my only choice that I was left with because I have been on so many yo-yo diets that my body did not know what to do. It didn't know what to do. Yeah. And people need to realize this, Nicole. I have a degree in psychology, and I didn't say anything about that, but I do have several more degrees. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about the psychology the piece. So you have to realize that we have receptors in mm-hmm. our brain that mm-hmm. says, it has a receptor that says the craving. It has a receptor to say if I'm thirsty. Mm-hmm. It has a receptor to say I'm hurting, endorphins. That's called endorphins. So mm-hmm. what happened with me is that because I had been on those diets like that, my receptors didn't know how to respond to my body.
Mm-hmm.
It literally did not know.
Right, right. It was confused.
Confused is the exact word. Confusion.
Yeah. Yeah, it was confused. So, Lynette, what were some of the risks of the gastric bypass? Because we hear all types of things about when people, if they decide to do the gastric bypass, if they don't, what were some of the risks and were you concerned?
I was totally concerned. And I'm scared. I'm going to say this word. I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was past that by that. I was scared, very scared to have this surgery. And so me and God had a talk. I said, Lord, if you want me to have this surgery, you have got to show me in the natural eye, not the spirit realm, that it's okay. And
okay.
So I was working at Blue Cross and Blue Shield as a benefit analyst. So after about a month, these claims start coming across my desk with everything on the whole process of the gastric bypass. I said, well, okay, Lord, you're telling me that it's okay to do it. So I'm going to talk to my husband. We all agreed that I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it.
Okay.
I did.
So let's fast forward, Lynette. You had the surgery, and so then after the surgery, everything is supposed to be not perfect, but it's supposed to resolve the issues. It's supposed to do what it's supposed to do. You're to lose weight, and you maybe live happily ever after. But that didn't happen. What happened after the surgery? Because not only did you have complications, you had 48 surgeries after the initial gastric bypass surgery.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What went wrong is that I was supposed to have the surgery in December of 96, but I had pneumonia. So that threw me back like a month. So they cleared me to have it in January. Well, anytime you have a major surgery like the gastric bypass, and you just got over pneumonia, your body is still not healed. So what happened to me was that when I came out of the surgery, I was on a ventilator. And I did not know that I was on a vent for 3 days.
Wow.
That means that, you know, the vent was breathing for me.
For you, right.
Yeah, for me. And then I was scared, Nicole, because when they finally let me wake up, they had my arm scrapped down. Because the first thing you want to do is get this thing out your mouth,
it
out your mouth. So I'm trying to, but my hands are, scrapped down so that I can't get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So my doctor came through after the 3 days or what have you, and they took it out. So I was in the hospital another, let's say 2 weeks, dealing with some issues. Then it let me come home. Well, I still had about the 50 staples in my stomach, and I probably had about close to 100 stitches. So when I was in the hospital, they noticed that I couldn't even hold water down. So I came home. It was the same thing, and I'm throwing up, not throwing up because I have nothing to throw up, but gasping on top of that staples and on top of those stitches.
Wow.
If you talk about something that's painful, it is unreal.
Yeah.
It is unreal.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. So for years you ate through a feeding tube. Is that correct? Talk a little bit about that because, you know, people need to understand that to be able to feed yourself, walk and use your, you know, your activities of your limbs and things of that nature, and then not be able to do some of the functions that you normally can do is very shocking. So when did you lose your capability of feeding yourself, Lynette?
I lost that pretty much in the first month.
The first month after the gastric?
The first month after the gastric bypass. We had what we call, and I'm pretty sure, I try not to use a lot of medical terms because I want people to understand what I'm saying in layman's terms.
Right. Right.
Okay, so that's my goal. But I have to use some words, medical words. But electrolytes, that's our calcium, potassium, our glucose, white and red blood count. All of those things are our electrolyte, which the body absolutely needs to do what it has to do. Well,
okay,
my body was depleted. I had none, just about. So they had to put me on, I had to go back in the hospital. Let me back up, Nicole. I went, it's called endoscopy, which they go down your throat with a scope and see why, what's going on with the stomach, the esophagus. They can even see parts of your intestine. So I had 8 endoscopies from January 6th until the middle of February because what was happening with me, where they do the connection with the esophagus to the, it's called a pouch after you have the surgery, it's called a pouch, it was too tight. Mine was too tight. They wouldn't allow. Yes, mine was too tight that would not allow anything to go down. So that's why I'm just gasping.
Wow.
You know, that's why I'm doing that. And I'm like, oh, my God. I said, Lord, have mercy. So the last time they did that, Nicole, they injected it with some steroids. And the steroids, it kept it open. Well, that wasn't even the tip of the iceberg, girl. That was that wasn't even a tip of the iceberg. So, okay, when you're on a gastric bypass, you have to, there's certain things that you have to do. They start you out with strictly liquids, like you can have some broth, you can have some yogurt, you can say something that's soft, you understand? Then they gradually introduce you back into food, you know, like your turkey, your fish, gradually, you know, so they're building you up. They're building you up and letting the body do what it needs to do, you know, to cooperate.
To repair itself,
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so with me, that never happened with me. I'm still throwing up. I'm still losing tons of weight. I'm still in chronic pain. I'm still swole all up. And so there we go again. That's another hospital visit.
So Lynette, let's back up a little bit. Let's fast forward because we have just a few more minutes left. So that went on for how long? So you had the surgeries and you had repeated surgeries, and so you just had complication after complication after complication, but it was nobody but God that brought you through, and you know that God delivered you out of all of those things. I want you to encourage somebody because breathing in is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solution. So I want you to encourage somebody that may be struggling or have struggled with obesity right now or have in the past, and they may be contemplating the gastric bypass. Now, are you for it or not for it?
You know, Nicole, when you asked me that before, I said mm-hmm. yes, and I said no. Well,
right.
the correct answer is yes, because I didn't
okay.
have a choice. It's either I want to live or I was going to die.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I chose life.
Right.
And God already knew what I was going through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He already knew what I was going to go through.
Absolutely. So to those individuals right now that are on the verge of giving up, that may be struggling in that same area that you have struggled in, because it wasn't just obesity. You were addicted to painkillers as well. You dealt with some issues within yourself. The book talks a lot about, you know, your upbringing and what you saw within your family and things of that nature and how that stayed with you. So talk to that young lady or that man right now that's on the verge of giving up that is obese.
This is what I say to my brothers and my sisters. It doesn't matter what color you all are, obesity do not discriminate. It does not. However, African Americans do. Their percentage rate is more than other ethnic groups. This is what I would like to say. As long as you get up every morning, God allows you to get up. Just have faith and have hope that it is going to get better. And you can go and talk to someone now. There's different things. I don't want people to go through what I went through. So that's why I do what I do. And so if you see me, you'll be like, that's Lynette. I was like, yeah, you know, this is Lynette. I like to, my mission is to educate. It's to educate. And that's a lot of things people don't want to get up off of is the education piece of it, because they'd rather continue on eating with the bad habits.
Right.
Once, let me just say this, Nicole. Once you have the gastric bypass, maybe 3 or 4 years later down the road, you're going to see that you'll be able to eat the same things that you used to eat before you had the surgery. You're just not going to be able to eat it in a large quantity.
Moderation. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But they still will, trust me, they will gain that weight back. It's a life. I want everybody to remember this. It is a forever lifestyle change. You cannot go back to your old eating habits and don't think that you are not going to gain weight back, because you will. It's lifetime.
Amen. Well, we thank you for those encouraging words, and thank you for stopping by and sharing your story. Talk a little bit about your book, Lynette. How can what was the purpose of writing the book, and how can the listeners purchase it and learn more about you?
Well, the purpose of me writing this book, I had no goal, no aspiration to write a book. I'm like, that's not me. So I start journaling. In 1999, every day, what would happen? And I have something that they call essential tremors, that your hands shake a lot. Sometimes it doesn't. So what I would do is that when I could not hold or type on my laptop, I would just speak it into my micro cassette player. My
right.
book is about everything that anyone can go through in this lifetime. And I'm saying that to say this, It deals with depression. It deals with being addicted. It deals with being detox off of the narcotic. It deals with overeating. It deals with every aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you this, Nicole. I just want to say this to your listeners. If I don't make another sale off of my book, it's okay with me. I'm going to tell you why. I have done my job, and that is to inspire people. And that's the only word that people will tell me, Lynette, you inspired me so much by writing this book. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know you had went through all of this. So
that's my goal. I am with them, Lynette. So how can they purchase the book? Can they get it from your website?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's Lynette, Lynette, good.com.
Okay, LynetteGood.com.
Mm-hmm. You can also go to several Barnes & Noble now that sell on my book. You can go to Libby and Broad. You can go to Short Pump. You can go to Hampton Roads. You can go to a lot of Christian bookstores, Rainbow bookstores. You can go to Virginia Union.
So where the books are sold, they can purchase your book. And if the book's not there, they need to request that book. And the book is called Determined to Live, How I Endured 48 Surgeries Due to Gastric Bypass by Lynette R. Good. Lynette, you are a living, breathing, walking miracle. You blessed
Praise
me.
God.
You have encouraged me. And, you know, I bless God for you and your story. And I bless God that you are telling it and you are transparent about it. So to God be the glory, my sister. And I'm so glad for the connection.
Yes, I am, Nicole. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your show.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome, my sister. All right, listeners, that has been our show for today. I'm just excited that I was able to bring you another victorious testimony, and that was from Lynette R. Good, and she is determined to live, How I Endured 48 Surgeries Due to Gastric Bypass. So, you know what? I never, ever say goodbye. I always say until next time. So God bless you, and have a super fabulous evening.
Thank you so much, Nicole. You too.